This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following khutbah, our sermon, was recorded Friday, July the 12th, the year 2002, at Taqwa Islamic Center in Chicago, Illinois. The khatib, our teacher, is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruhu. ونؤمن به عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد Dear believers, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We thank Allah. We give praise to Him. We do whatever we do in His name. We ask Him for guidance, forgiveness, for our sins and errors, our wrongdoings, and we ask Him for His mercy, for without His mercy, we have nothing, and without His guidance, we have no guidance. He is the Lord Most High, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that is, highly glorified is He, Amma Yushrikun, above what we associate with Him, Amma Yasifun, above what we imagine with our minds. This is in Quran, that God, above what we associate with Him, cannot be captured fully by the human mind. He is high above what we associate with Him, and He is high above what we imagine of Him with our minds. With our minds. La takrikuhul absar, the sights of man cannot catch Him. Cannot catch Him. But He catches everything in His sight. The sights of man cannot catch Him. This is Quran. But He catches everything in His vision, in His sight. This is God. This is God. But it says, La takrikuhul absar. So that gives the picture of something trying to reach something, going after something. So if you go after God, with your sights, you will never catch Him. But if you invite Him till He's pleased with you, you will see Him. You won't see Him with these eyes, no. But you will see Him. Not with the eyes that you look at the newspaper with, or that you need to drive your car on the road with, but you will see Him. He told Moses, he said, if you will see me, he said, look at the mountain. Look at the mountain. And Moses, peace be upon him. No, but he told, I'm sorry, I left out something. He said, if you remain as you are, you will see me. But he didn't remain as he was. When Moses tried to see God by looking at the mountain as he was instructed to do by God, he swooned. Allah says in Quran, he swooned. He passed out. He passed out. And while he was passed out, while he lost consciousness, the mountain vanished. The mountain vanished because he lost consciousness. So he wasn't looking at the mountain anymore. So he did not see God. But does that mean that what God told him was useless? God wouldn't have told him to look at the mountain if it was useless. Moses just weren't, he wasn't ready. Moses weren't ready. He had the mind that he had before. God had not worked with him. He was using the mind of his people. And his people, according to the Quran, they said, show us God in body where we can see Him. Jethro said, show us God, show us God. Your Moses, show us your God in body so we can see Him, in a physical body. That's what they asked him. And they were punished for that, for desiring that. Because that's an insult to ask the God of the heavens and the earth to appear in the body of a person. when he's already in the body of every person. He's already in the body of every person. He's everywhere. And in the body of every human being. All the time. But you want to see him in the body of a person, then you want to know that he's there. You want him to make the sun go out or something, or the moon eclipse before time. But God doesn't accept that you treat him with such disrespect. So it was ignorance of them to ask for such a thing, and they were punished for it. Now, we want to see Islam in its distinction. By that I mean, we want to see what Islam has in its looks that most or all the other religions do not have. The other religions emphasize, like Islam, obedience to God. But none of them have, I'm speaking of the religions of the book now, not all the religions of man on earth. Speaking of Judaism mainly, and Christianity, and also other religions, Sabianism, that's mentioned in the Quran. These three religions, four with Sabianism, they believe in God who created everything and has power over everything, etc. And they believe that the system of the world, or the world itself, is one system. Stars, moon, sun, earth, everything makes up one system. And they believe one God created it all. So these religions we identify with, because they have that belief that we have in God. And we are a continuation, really, of that belief going way back to the earliest times. It's a continuation of that belief. That's why we say all prophets were Muslims. And if God gave them a religion, that religion was Islam. No matter what they called it, the religion was Islam. Religion of all God's prophets, messengers, servants, Islam. And all human beings created Muslim. So this is the belief. Now, those religions emphasize obedience to God like we do, but they don't have as much control in the daily life of people. Islam wants more control in the daily life of the person who becomes a Muslim. If you become a Muslim, you can't do just as you please. It's a religion of not only obedience, but a religion of disciplines. It has more detectable, obvious disciplines than the other religions that we are mentioning in connection with Islam. And I would say the strongest picture of our disciplines is our salat that we made. We made the sunnah salat before we started following the way of Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him. Our prayer shows discipline. We do it five times daily. And we do other prayers too, but we are obligated to do five times daily, five prayers daily. We do the prayers of Muhammad, the extra prayers that he gave to God, more than what God asked. And those prayers are called sunnah prayers. Sunnah prayers are the traditional prayers of Muhammad the Prophet, his tradition, the tradition of the Prophet. Yes, so we have a religion of disciplines from the time we awaken before sunrise. Fajr time is before sunrise, till the time we eat the last meal before retiring. And after eating that meal, we say the last prayer before retiring, the fifth prayer, the night prayer, Asia prayer. So we have a life of discipline. Now, these prayers, God knows that sometimes you're going to be in a situation and it's going to be very difficult for you to make these prayers. So in wartime, they had provisions where they could pray. Some could pray while others watch for the enemies. They had other provisions too. But also in travel. Travel back there in those days was very hard on people. Conditions were bad. You got a horse, you traveling on a horse, on donkey, on a camel, no matter what animal you're traveling on. It was difficult. Some walking. Some didn't have animals. They had to walk. Travel took so long and was so arduous. Very difficult, involving hardship, a lot of hardship. So God permits us to combine prayers when you travel. Certain prayers can be combined, like the two midday prayers. Zuhr, this time that we are given the khutbah in is Zuhr, you know, noon prayer. Immediate afternoon prayer, Zuhr, and Asr, which comes a little later. We can combine those two. And the next two is after sunset, and the night prayer. You can combine those two, Maghrib and Isha. So two of the prayers can be combined, and you have the Fajr prayer in the morning. So you would, instead of being praying five times a day, you would only be praying three times a day, but you'll still be making five prayers. Yes. Now, also, you could shorten prayers. You could make them much shorter when you are in the circumstances that permit that. You make them much shorter. And you can even shorten Al-Fatiha to just Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord of the worlds. You can shorten it that much. You can't shorten it more than that. But you can shorten it that much. Yes. And you don't have to say a short surah with every rak'ah. Not when you are under very difficult in a very difficult situation or very difficult circumstances. You don't have to say a short surah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is enough. Now, no one will do that unless the situation or circumstance is very serious for them. I would never be comfortable just saying that and finishing my prayer like in 1 minute. I would never be comfortable with that. I'd really have to be in serious trouble. Our condition has to be very, very bad for me to shorten the prayer to that amount. But look how merciful God is. Through Muhammad the Prophet, he guided us to know that we can shorten our prayer. It's not in the Quran. Just Muhammad the Prophet taught us these things. In fact, it's not in the Quran how to do your prayers. Muhammad the Prophet had to teach us. He was the one to demonstrate to us how we are to practice Islam. And so we learned from him to do these things. So it's a disciplined religion, but it's also a merciful religion, a very considerate and merciful religion, like the God that gave it to humanity. He's the merciful God, most merciful God. Yes, so this, we're looking at the personal life, and as I said, we're seeing Islam as being distinct, different from other religions, in that it has obvious control in the life of the people. It's not just a religion of faith. It's a religion of faith, obedience, action, and disciplines. Disciplines. That means things have been spelled out for you to do. And you do those things as you're instructed in your religion, to do in your religion. So this is the religion that makes, this is what makes Islam for me. This is what makes Islam, in my opinion, a religion for the stronger people. Stronger people. It's not a religion for those who want excuses to not to do what God asks. It's a religion for the stronger in faith, strong in faith, who wants to do everything God asks, who will even be seeking, after learning so much, they'll be seeking to know more, to know if God is asking something of me that I'm not aware of. I want to know because I want to do all he asks of me. Those are the people that make good followers, strong followers in Islam. And but, as I said, though Islam is a religion that appeals, that makes its appeal to the strong in faith, it is a religion that's so kind and merciful, it permits the weak in faith to come along. To come along. It permits the weak in faith to come along. And it excuses them, and gives them so many, I would say, conditions that they can use or take if they like. If you're sick, you don't have to fast during Ramadan. You just make up other days. If you're traveling, same. You don't have to fast during Ramadan. Make up other days. Make it up in other days. Now, it didn't say, but see a doctor and get his signature or get a slip from him to show to the imam. Islam is a religion that want us to not to be suspicious of one another. It want us to trust one another. So it doesn't authorize people to spy on us. You know, Islam never had, under Muhammad the Prophet, a police department. The people were policed by themselves. They policed themselves. No police over the people. They police themselves. And no investigators to go look in your home, see if you're cooking pork or cooking an eagle or something you shouldn't eat. See, sometimes some of us think pork is the only meat you can't eat. There's a lot of meat you can't eat if you obey the Quran, Allah and the Quran. There's a lot of meat you can't eat. You can't eat alligator. You can't. I know some of you ate it already, but I'm telling you right now, you're wrong. You shouldn't have eaten it. An alligator is a vicious animal that prey on other animals, even will eat up a man. That kind of animal, you can't eat him, though he's in the water. He's in the water summertime. He's in the water and on the land. He's both. He's in the water and he can get out and walk around on land. Both. Go to both water and land. But we can't eat him because he attacks other animals and he eats blood. He eat a man, he eat a child, he eat anything. He's vicious. Can't eat vicious animals. No vicious animal you're allowed to eat. So, getting back to Islam as a disciplined religion. Now here, look at how beautiful this religion is, and communicating to us the importance of what it asks of us. Now, you know, Islam asks of us discipline, but before asking of us discipline, or while asking of us this, to obey these disciplines, it tells us the creator of you is the same creator that made the sun, moon, and stars. And he created them to obey disciplines. So see how the sun and the moon follow in their orbit? Obeying specific times. obeying specific timing. So accurate that the astronomer can calculate for the Pentagon just when this star is going to pass, cross the path of another star. Exactly. When it's going to cross the path of another star, or when there's going to be an eclipse of the moon, or an eclipse of the sun, etc. So Allah says that these things follow paths, orbits, computed, worked out. In other words, you can follow this mathematically. You can test this mathematically. You see how coming it inspired the intellect of the Arabs and made them scientists? In time they became the scientists of their time, of their day and time. They became the scientists of their day and time. And scientists and scholars and intellectuals from all over the world came to them to hear what they had to say and to see what they had discovered. That was a glorious time for Islam. The Quran did that. The same book we have now. And you know we need some extra help, African Americans. You know we need extra help. I'm telling you, the same help that came to those Arabs that were in worse condition than we are in, they were in much worse condition than we are in when Islam came to them. They didn't have civilization like we have it. They didn't have education like we have it. We are in much, much better condition than those Arabs were in when Islam first came to them. So if it did all that for them, it can do it for us, and even do more for us. Have faith in this religion that it can give you the best that you hope for on this earth while you live as a condition of life. It can give you the best that you can hope for. I repeat, as a condition of life. The whole life is fed by the Quran and guided by Muhammad's way. Peace and blessings be on him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we look at the religion like this, we say, our religion says that everything God created, He created it to obey His will. And God said, He, when He made the skies and the earth, He said, come you, willingly or unwillingly. He even gave the skies, the objects that He created in the skies, the permission to obey Him or not. But it was in their nature. It was in their nature to obey Him. So though they were in chaos, you say, when they first created everything, it was in chaos. It was all out of order, not in order, like the sky we see now with the telescope. It was all out of order. And science can't come up with a theory different. So science says, too, that they believe the beginning of the creation, the skies, and the bodies that's in the space, was from explosion, exploding bodies. And they were just exploding and exploding, but eventually the exploding rested. It just exploded out, and it rested and settled and came to the beautiful order we see now in the heavens. That's what science says. And not only do they say it, they have evidence of it. They see new systems being created, and these new systems explode. They come from explosion, from what they call dark matter, or dark matter, nothing but darkness. Out of the darkness explodes energy, and eventually that energy, over, I guess, eons of time, billions and billions of years, that energy finally finds obedience to the order that God designed for it in its very nature. In its very nature. So therefore, the universe itself is Muslim. The learned in this religion, the obedient teachers in this religion, they have passed it down from Muhammad's time that the earth and all the things God created in heaven are Muslim. Now, we're going to take this to a further step now. So if all the creation is Muslim, and God made me from the earth, like he did the first man, said he made the first man from the earth. So if he made me from the earth, then he made me from something that was a Muslim already in his nature. His nature was to obey God. So now, can't you understand even better and appreciate even more the saying of our Prophet Muhammad, that everyone is born a Muslim until circumstances make them otherwise. The beautiful religion. Then God says, you are the best community. Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas. Ukhrijat simply means brought out. Kharaja means go out. Ukhrijat means it was brought out. But shouldn't we connect this with not only this philosophical picture that I'm painting now of creation and the birth of man out of creation, but shouldn't we connect this too with Exodus in the Old Testament? Because those people were cut off from the life that God chose for them, and they were under a taskmaster, Pharaoh, and they had not a leader to guide them into the way that God had chosen for them. And God gave them Moses, and Moses made so much of trouble for Pharaoh that Pharaoh had to let them go. And letting them go, they're going out, is called Exodus. Then, and we think it means Exodus from a particular place. That's what the Jews had. They had Exodus from a particular place. They'll tell you there's a place on the map. They Exodus from that place. And they make you think Egypt is Cairo, the same Egypt that you take a 747 to visit, to see the pyramids, etc. More importantly, it's an exodus out of one spirit into another spirit. It's an exodus out of one way of thinking into another way of thinking. And it's given plainly in both the Bible and the Quran, he brought you out of darkness into the light. It's an exodus from the darkness of sin and corruption and ignorance into the light of the way of God. That's the real exodus. So we have to see ourselves now in America as people who are cut off from their previous traditions, previous disciplines, previous culture, previous history, and left here in America in the dark. And God has reached us with a Moses, not in the person of one particular man, but with a Moses in a body of knowledge and principles, etc. He has reached us, and that Moses have taken us out of the darkness into the light. So we have had an exodus from the world of darkness that our circumstances had us in to a world of light. Light of the way of God. So don't think God doesn't repeat these things that happened in the past. Moses came and he did a job. You think his thing only be repeated in time and history? There will be other people in the same state, same situation, same circumstances that the people of Moses were in. And God, if he was justified to give them a Moses, then he's justified to give the next people in their same circumstances a Moses. So don't doubt the magnitude and the depth of what has happened in America among you. I should say among us, because I'm among you and I'm one of you. Don't underestimate the magnitude of it.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.